So we have four amazing presenters, and the first presenter is Dr. Mendez, and she's a visiting professor in the epidemiology department at the University of Pittsburgh, and she also got her degrees from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and she'll be starting us off with the presentations today.
Okay. Thank you and good morning. It's nice to see a small crowd despite the chaos outside, so thank you for being here. Today I'm presenting to you a study conducted in partnership with the community-based doula program in my area, and the title of this talk today is Neighborhood Context and Pregnancy Health, Perspectives from Community-Based Doulas and Mothers Using Concept Mapping. So the work that I'm presenting to you today is in collaboration with a community-based doula program in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, called the Birth Circle. Amazing program. Unfortunately, they were not able to be here today, so I'll attempt to answer some questions about the program as they may come up during Q&A, but if I cannot, I can follow up with you or direct you to our director of the Birth Circle for more information. So let's get into it. I have no relationships to disclose. So despite medical advancements and considerable funds spent on healthcare, the U.S. ranks 30th in the U.S., I'm sorry, in the world, in infant mortality behind European countries, Canada, and Australia. And in addition, there are persistent racial and ethnic disparities in perinatal outcomes, such as birth outcomes in the U.S. For example, in the U.S., black women are more than two times as likely to have an infant die within the first year of life compared to white women. However, in Allegheny County, the area of focus for this study, that disparity is four times. It's tremendous. There was actually a New York Times article featuring Pittsburgh, which is the city within Allegheny County, concerning the infant mortality rate and what could be potential causes for that disparity. So researchers have examined a multitude of factors to look at the racial disparity. And many studies have focused on individual risk factors, prenatal care usage, maternal education, diet, just to name a few. And these individual factors have not adequately explained the disparity. And so researchers have looked at the larger social context, neighborhood context being one component of that, to understand the context in which people live and how that may influence their health and their behaviors. So first, adverse neighborhood conditions, for example, may cause stress for pregnant women. It can contribute to disparities through differential access to health-promoting resources in the neighborhood or exposure to harmful conditions. And many studies have found that there is an association between neighborhood economic deprivation, for example, and adverse birth outcomes such as low birth weight and preterm birth. However, although these associations are found in many of our quantitative studies, there are a few studies that look specifically at the mechanism, so specific measurement and understanding of those factors, but also the pathways. What are some of the mechanisms? What's underlying that relationship? And so as a result, we decided to explore this relationship. And I didn't mention earlier that my relationship with the Birth Circle actually came out of some work as a Kellogg Health Scholar. They had a need to develop some of their research and program evaluation, and I was a new Kellogg Health Scholar looking to use my skills in maternal child health and specifically with community-based organization. So our relationship has been in existence for a couple years, and this was one of the projects or research studies that came out of that relationship. And so we wanted to investigate the conceptualization and relationship of neighborhood context with preconceptual health, pregnancy health, postpartum health, and birth outcomes. And we used concept mapping as a way to do this. So we were interested in perceptions among the community-based doulas and mothers of the important neighborhood factors that they felt influenced these outcomes, the relative importance, as well as describe a little more in detail how these factors may be related. So those were the key goals of this study. So just a quick background about the Birth Circle. The Birth Circle, before I go into concept mapping, so the Birth Circle actually was an organization founded in 2006, part of a federally qualified healthcare center. They're currently under the auspices of the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center now, so that's a newer recent relationship. But they have been providing services since 2006 to women. And some of you may know the word doula, but doula is usually a term used to describe someone who provides support during labor and delivery. In this case, the Birth Circle is unique in that not only do they provide services during labor and delivery, but they provide a comprehensive set of services during pregnancy and postpartum. So most people think of a doula, oh, you know, I pay someone to be there to help me through the labor and delivery and to also help me navigate maybe the health system while I'm there in the hospital. And they provide a range of services. And so with that work, they have been able to serve about 300 women per year, and they're primarily women who cannot afford to pay for a doula on their own. So it's primarily low-income women. And so with concept mapping, it's a method or approach that would be considered a community-based or participatory research method. And it was developed in 1989, more so for program evaluation and assessment, less so in public health, although it's been used a bit more in public health. And its purpose is to help explore a group's perceptions or views around a particular topic. And it applies a data collection process that combines both qualitative and quantitative methods. It uses a group data collection process to collect a wide variety of participant-generated ideas to gain in-depth understanding about a topic. It uses a quantitative analytic tool, which I'll go into depth a little bit more, to develop a cluster map, and this can help depict visually relationships between ideas. It also allows researchers to collect data and have a collective representation from participant perspectives on a phenomenon, in this case, neighborhood context. So there were three main steps to the concept mapping process, and I'll just briefly state them here, and I'll go into a little more depth later. So first, we conducted a brainstorming session. So during this first session, there was a focal question that was the initial part of the conversation, which was what are characteristics of the neighborhood that were relevant for pregnancy health? Information from that initial conversation was used for the sorting and rating activity, and I'll go into depth about that. This was more of an individual activity, although it was in a group setting. And then finally, the interpretation session was also a group setting where it allowed for more nuanced and in-depth conversation about the topic at hand. So we had a total of 18 people participate in the study. 17 were women, one was male. The male was a partner of someone who received services. The majority of the women were white. 50% or more had a college degree. The majority did say that their income met their basic needs as well as healthcare needs, and the majority had children. Those who did not have children were the actual doulas themselves. So the participants were a combination of doulas as well as women who were receiving services at the time or had received services. So session one was a brainstorming activity. We had two iterations of the brainstorming activity. And so during this first session, this allowed participants to have discussion about the main topic here. And not only were we able to have a discussion about the topic, but those specific issues that were brought up, we were able to record those issues in a way so that we could use for subsequent sessions. So the purpose was to be able to summarize some of the key statements that were brought up. And so I'll call them items, but you can think of them as key themes or issues related to neighborhood context and pregnancy health. So during the first iteration, there were a total of 84 unique items, the second iteration, 96. And then the research group, we looked in the literature to see if there were any other issues in the literature that maybe weren't brought up during the sessions, for a total of 79 unique items. And so those unique items were used for subsequent sessions. And so this is an example of some of the key items that were discussed and brought up. And so, for example, cost of transportation, neighborhood gardening, access to women's center care. So these are just some examples. So the subsequent session was the sorting and rating session. So during this session, the participants took the 79 unique items and they conducted a sorting activity. So this was in a group, but each individual participated in the sorting activity. So they were able to receive a listing of those items, and they were asked to group them based on whether they thought those items were similar. So for example, there may be items 1 through 1, 15, and 16 that you thought were similar. That could be green space, sidewalks, and maybe parks. So you thought, okay, those were similar items. I would group those as similar neighborhood items. Another person may group it differently. And so each person was able to go through that process. The rating activity was for participants to then subsequently describe whether they, or the relationship between those neighborhood items and the outcome. So remember, there were four: preconception, pregnancy, postpartum, and birth outcomes. So they were to rate for each item, how important is it on a scale from 1 to 5. And then that information was entered into the concept system software. So this is a concept mapping software that's very unique, and it actually goes through 3 core analysis steps. So that information, one, was entered into the system and then used for the subsequent session. So the sorting data creates what's called a similarity matrix, and it illustrates how participants sorted the items together and then how similarly a person sorted across the group. Then the next step that the actual software runs is called multidimensional scaling, and it's used to position the specific items on what would be considered a point map. So point number 1 and point number 2 may be far apart based on what they thought were similar items. And then finally, it goes through a hierarchical cluster analysis, and this places similar items into non-overlapping clusters. And it results in what would be considered a cluster map, which is what you see here. So when I mentioned maybe item 1, which is in cluster 1, is far from item 15 in cluster 4, what the actual system is doing, it is placing that on a two-dimensional scale so that you can see how different those items are rated among the group. And I'll go through what those items are, because you're probably thinking, well, what does item 1 represent? So I'll go through some examples. But this is just to give you an illustration. This is a 9-cluster map. You can choose the number of clusters, but this cluster provides homogeneity within a cluster, but also heterogeneity across clusters. So you want to make sure that you're capturing distinct items. And so this captures 9 what we'd consider clusters or themes or items. And so, for example, cluster 1, resources available for pregnancy and beyond. So that had a total of 8 items, but I just list a few here. So for example, these are the specific items that were discussed during that first session. So breastfeeding services, visibility and acceptance of breastfeeding in public. Cluster 2, access potential barriers to healthcare services, maternity and paternity leave was one example. Cluster 3, services related to health behaviors and lifetime habits, so cost of healthy food, public schools, access and availability of transportation. 4, policies and institutions, one example, accessible and accountable politicians. 5, environment and infrastructure, water quality, land, soil quality, policies and practices that target communities for hazards. Cluster 6, neighborhood history, demographics, and dynamics. History of the neighborhood, how neighborhoods or society treats mothers and their perceptions of motherhood. Cluster 7, community assets, active neighborhood organizations, neighborhood support and connections. 8, social attributes of the neighborhood, safety of the neighborhood, reputation of the neighborhood, and perceptions about the neighborhood. And then finally, cluster 9, community connections, social relationships and networks, neighborhoods going through transitions, and people moving in and out. So this is just to give you an example. And as I mentioned, there were 79 key and unique items that were discussed. And this is just a way for us to summarize and group that more on a quantitative perspective in this specific case. So this shows the pattern match. Pattern match allows us to take the results from the rating. So I mentioned that each person received, basically it was a sheet of paper that listed all 79 items, and they were to rate them on a scale of 1 to 9, as 1 to 5, as it related to pre-pregnancy, pregnancy, postpartum, and birth outcomes. So this shows you the ratings. You see most of them rated each item pretty high. I mean, the scale was 1 to 5, and most people were on an aggregate, they were rated between 3.5 and 5. The correlation coefficient shows the correlation and what they saw important for pre-pregnancy and pregnancy health, so that you see that they rated these items pretty similarly across outcomes. But we do see some differences here. So for example, access and potential barriers to adequate care was rated pretty highly in both groups. It was rated a little higher for pregnancy versus pre-pregnancy, just as an example. And then this is a pattern match for pregnancy and postpartum. The correlation here is pretty high, 0.9. And we also see that each cluster item was rated pretty high. I have 5 minutes. I'm going to skip through these really quickly, but we do see that there are some similarities in how they rated these neighborhood issues as important for both pregnancy and postpartum. And then we also see that for pregnancy and birth outcomes. And then postpartum and birth outcomes, the correlation is not as high, and we see there are a little bit more differences. So, for example, services related to health behaviors and lifetime habits were seen as more important for postpartum versus its effects on birth outcomes. So finally, we had our interpretation session. So this final session could be synonymous to maybe a focus group session. And what we did was we presented the results from the concept system software, that process that I mentioned to you, the pattern matching, and then finally the cluster map. So we presented the results from that to the group for further discussion. So one, we wanted to know, did they agree with the clusters? Did they agree with how things were grouped together? And then we also wanted a more nuanced discussion about the neighborhood issues at hand and how it affected health. So a little bit more of a discussion about that. And so I want to, just for time, I want to go through some of the actual quotes from these focus groups, because I think it's really important for us to think about some of the issues that the women bring up. So the first had to do with transportation costs and availability. So I'm reading verbatim. But we came up with that transportation would be a big part of it, because we were saying that most women postpartum lose their insurance 6 weeks out, and so the access insurance won't cover their transportation anymore, so they can't get to appointments or WIC or anything like that. Then another person responds, but a lot of these things, you can't get them if you can't get out. So that transportation is like the number one thing in whether or not you have these resources available to you or not, and especially postpartum. She was, and she's referring back to the earlier person, was really saying that it feels like you sort of drop off a cliff after your baby comes, like that there's a lot available for you while you're pregnant, then it ends, or there's just a big void of services postpartum. And then the conversation continues. And like, cost of transportation is listed here, but it goes beyond cost into like actual existence of transportation. Like, is there actually a bus that goes past your house? Whether or not you can afford the bus, it's in certain neighborhoods around now, there isn't a bus that goes past your house. And it's tough too to take a newborn on a bus with a stroller, a carrier, and bags and everything else. And especially like in the winters around here, it's just too much. And so that, in that conversation, there was discussion one about transportation costs and availability and access. But sort of the backstory to that is locally, there were changes in bus services in our county. There were tremendous changes in where many bus routes were cut, were changed. And so the women were not only responding to general access issues, but what was going on then as it related to public transportation in our area. So neighborhood and safety was another that was brought up. And then there's one more that I'll go through quickly just for the sake of time. Oh, yeah, going back to the title for Better Exercise and Eating Habits, one of the things that my doula and I would constantly go through were monthly exams. My doctor was asking me, well, were you getting enough exercise? A, it was the middle of the winter. B, I live in low-income housing. If anyone is familiar with, and she names her, where she lives. As I explained to my doctor, I love him to death. That's not the kind of neighborhood that you just want to be walking around with a stomach, not with the things that was going on around me week in and week out. So he said to me, isn't there an exercise facility? I said, oh, yeah, you mean the multi-million dollar YMCA they're building for us? It's not built yet, doctor, but that's a good idea. I'm sorry I don't have a membership to Gold's Gym, but, you know, I do the best I can. I walk to the bus stop. Hey, what can I say? Let's be a little realistic here. So I just, those are the things you got to hammer out with your doctor. They mean well, but unless you tell them, they don't know. All neighborhoods are not Desperate Housewives neighborhoods. And we all know that's the name of the lane. Wisteria Lane? Yeah, we all live in Wisteria Lane. All picket fences are not white, but, you know, you just got to hammer out with your doctor, describe what I'm exposed to. I don't feel like it's a good idea at this stage of my pregnancy or what's going on in my home or environment or what's going on in my neighborhood for me to walk out there randomly like that. So I'm going to skip through if there's any questions. Just in summary, this did provide some insight to us about neighborhood context and some of the nuanced perceptions among, not, you know, from a quantitative perspective, we do look at these questions, but what were some of the perceptions of women in their neighborhoods, and what are the things in their neighborhoods that affected them? Concept mapping, I think, is a useful tool that can be used to elicit response and to also have a more nuanced combination of both mixed methods, qualitative and quantitative way or approaches for understanding a phenomenon. So thank you.